How to avoid the dreaded no decision, aka the shortest course in sales. So lots of sales opportunities end up being marked as lost to no decision. I'm sure at some point you've heard the well-worn saying, your biggest competitor is actually no decision, or more sales are lost to no decision than to your actual competitors. And to me, that feels like a bit of a cop-out. So potentially, in the short term, it might make you feel better. You know, you might think, oh, well, at least they didn't choose a competitor, or at least they didn't buy something else. But let's take a step back and have a think about it for a second. So if you failed to persuade them to make a change, you need to be honest about how much of that's your responsibility, because one thing's true for all of us, right? We only have a very scarce amount of selling time available to each of us. So there's some Salesforce data and that sort of thing that talks about the average seller spends about 30% of their total time on selling activities, right? So, you know, we've only shown, and sometimes it's a little bit more, a little bit less, but the reality is we've only got a small amount of time that we're spending doing sales. So we should be focusing on talking and selling prospects who are likely to be in the buying window. And today we've got data and the available tools around data. I'd suggest it's easier now than ever to be able to figure out who's a good client for you and who's not. So we should be able to see some of those buying signals more than ever before. So our goal should be to spend our limited available selling time with people who are more likely to be buying what we're selling. So this way, you're less likely to get that dreaded no decision, because trying to sell to people who aren't ready to buy will get you a high percentage of no decisions. Just because people are interested doesn't mean they have an intention to buy. So I'll say that again. Just because people are interested doesn't mean that they have an intention to buy. Now, this is going to be a real challenge for those of you who've got something that's new or exciting in the marketplace, because you're going to create lots of conversations with people who are interested but have no intention to purchase. So let me be clear. You should still be talking to those people who are interested, but you don't want to move them into being an opportunity, because if you do move them into being an opportunity too early, you're going to end up spending lots of time trying to close them when they don't really have any intention. So this will blow up your time. It drives the prospect nuts more often than not, and potentially ruins any chance you have of doing future business together. So let's assume that we've got the data right and we're approaching people who are a perfect fit for us and our solution. So the next reason why you might be getting a lot of no decisions and it's slowing down and derailing our sale is the way that you present it. And this is where this concept about the shortest course on sales comes into its own. So I got this from a guy called Dean Mannix, who's a great friend and a sales mentor. He's from a company called Better Sales Coach. Go and check him out. And he shared a version of this with me years ago, and I've stuck with the version of it ever since. And the theory is, whenever you're crafting a pitch or a conversation, you should use this framework. And the framework is this: why should they do anything at all? That's the first thing. Get them to think about that. Then, why should they do it now? Then, and only then, why should they do it with you? So if you're building a calling script or an email or a pitch of any kind, stick to that framework. But here's the thing, right? Most salespeople actually present this back to front, and doing that helps your prospects stay at no decision. So in short, when you present this back to front, you're not giving them a compelling reason to make a change. Remember, nobody wants to make any changes in the way they're doing business right now, right? That's hard work and that's to be avoided. So if somebody sends you an email or rings you up and says, hey, you need to change what you're doing, your natural response is going to be, no, I don't want to do anything more. I don't want to do anything new, right? In order for someone to move from their current status quo, they need to first agree that doing what they're doing now is not going to be a good way to operate in the future. And that's why this framework works so well. In order for you to do that, you need to first present a compelling argument around that scenario of making change. And only once they've agreed that they need to make change can they then be open to thinking about when do they need to make that change. And only once they've decided that they need to make that change soon or now, will they then start to think about who would be the best person to partner with, or who can I trust to help me make that change. So to look backwards once they agree that they should do something and they should do it now, then they're open to hearing about why you might be the best vehicle to make the change. But time and time again, I'm listening to pitches and I'm reading emails that are doing the opposite. They first talk about why they're worth doing with, why they should move now, and why they should do anything if they're covering that at all. And this is one of the big reasons why so many pitches are closed out as no decision, because you haven't given the prospect a compelling reason to make a change first. Right. So typically we see the pitches, they start with, you know, this is my organization, this is why we're so good. We've got a short window why you should operate with us. And by the way, here's the reasons why I need to make a change. So let me give you an example of how I won some really significant business using this methodology. So for a long time, for 3 years, I coached the Coca-Cola new business sales team here in Australia. And instead of telling them how good I was, which obviously would have been painful, instead, I asked the leadership who is making the decision to show me how they would coach their sales team on objection handling. Right. So what I did was said, hey, tell me how you would coach your team right now around objection handling. They couldn't provide me with any objection handling techniques off the top of the head. And it was basically sat in a room with a bunch of crickets, right? So when they couldn't do that, they knew that they had to do something. Right. So at first, what I did was I showed them why do they need to do anything, because they can't do it themselves. So I demonstrated that. Okay. Only then I could then demonstrate why that should be me. And of course, what I did was I ran a quick little 10-minute training session right there in the moment to give them a taste of Mark McGuinness's sales training session. So I clearly demonstrated why they needed to do something, because they couldn't do it themselves. So in your email, your scripting, or your face-to-face pitches, use the shortest course on sales. It's a simple framework and it's an absolute cracker. Why do anything? Why do it now? And only then, why do it with you? You're welcome. I'm Mark McGuinness, and this is the Best of Sales Skills Podcast. See you next time.